Hello, and welcome to Chapter 14 of Nancy Goodaim, the Space Ranger. And the events that you are about to hear described took place on planet Jupiter in the future. Nighttime on Jupiter is both a painful and wondrous thing, depending on your point of view. Nancy's point of view was from a branch high above the valley of Pollen Asp, deep in the forest of Proverbs, and safe from any marauding nocturnal creatures that might view her existence as a midnight snack. She had Martian astronaut / waitress Martina Rudelsplich, European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McBurrow, and Hobble Granicker Defence League founder Gumgulgar Unterwackel, also known as BIP, for company. They were lying safe on a bed of moss on the branch thanks to the local knowledge of BIP and his skill with vines. Their friends Chuz Rondelpeck and the sheriff were not so safe, and were wandering slowly upstream along the right bank of a stream running through the valley of Pollen Asp. The reason the pair were vulnerable was partly because the sheriff decided he could talk with the gut and was directing them upstream, and mostly because several species of predatory creatures roamed Pollen Asp at night. The three noises came from somewhere far below Nancy, Bart, Martina and Bip, and were alien to everyone except Bip.
"What was that?"
whispered Bart nervously.
"Who are you asking?"
asked Martina.
"Do you know what it is?"
asked Bart.
"No,"
replied Martina.
"Then I wasn't asking you,"
whispered Bart.
"That'll be the marmsticles. They're nocturnal and always wander down to the stream of Pollen Asp at night to fight and eat whatever is down there, or each other,"
explained Bip loudly. The sound Bart, Martina, Nancy and Bip had heard slowly grew louder and was soon echoing up and down the valley below.
"Noggle, noggle, noggle."
Nancy placed a bolt in her crossbow, lifted the riser, and pointed the barrel down towards where she knew the stream was.
"Relax, Nancy, we're safe up here," advised Bip. "Plus, marmsticles are harmless when they're just nongling. It's when one of them goes clump that you should be worried."
Nancy scanned the valley below. Although there were four moons above the tree canopy to light her view, the light was faint, and all she could detect was movement and a vague feeling of unease. Bart had rolled onto his back and was staring up through the branches and at the stars above.
"It's true what they say about stars.
You have to reach for them," he noted. Nobody responded in words. The sheriff coughed. Martina gave the first low snore of a deep sleep, and Nancy hissed a "Shh."
"Because the earth is like a star from here," continued Bart.
"Quiet," said Nancy. "I think I can hear something."
The something she could hear was buried in a chorus of nongles. The something was words. Self-important words.
"Now, Chuz, the thing to remember is that there are two types of creatures in the universe."
"I think I can hear the sheriff," whispered Nancy. "Listen."
"Actually, there are more than two types. But if there were two, the type I belong to would be the one to tell other creatures, like you, what to do when you are alive."
"That sounds like the sheriff, all right. I'll wake Martina,"
whispered Bart. He then grabbed by the elbow. The result was a brief pause and then a loud snore. A separate and less pompous voice echoed up from the stream below.
"But I'm telling you, when we turned around, we started going right back to where we started, sheriff." "That sounds like Chuz," said Nancy. "I can't see them, can you? It sounds like they're getting closer."
Bart, Nancy and Bip lay silent for a minute. Martina snored. Bart rolled over onto his stomach and peered over the edge of the branch and into the dark valley below.
"Yeah, that sounded like Chuz and the sheriff, all right. They must have decided to head back this way."
"Nongle, nongle, nongle,"
went the chorus of creatures below.
"Shh, Bart,"
shushed Nancy. She squeezed the foregrip and pushed the stock of the crossbow against her shoulder. Something told her she would soon need to use the weapon. Pompous, distant words filled the silence and drifted up to the tree canopy again.
"You were right, Chuz. We did turn around. That is exactly the way of the universe. You see, when you turn from one direction to its opposite and start moving, you are returning to where you came from. This is true for all parts of the solar system."
The distant voice became increasingly loud.
"But that does not mean we are going the wrong way,"
the self-assured voice continued.
"Remember, everything is part of God's plan. And I know that because he told me himself."
Nongle, 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 clump.
The forest suddenly went completely silent. Nancy, Bart, Bip and Martina also went silent. Well, Martina was snoring, but it was a quiet sort of snore. The nearby, increasingly loud talking resumed.
It's gone very quiet, Sheriff. That's not usually a good sign in a forest. There might be a predator about.
Well, Chuz, I've seen off 2 cantabular glimpses already today, and killing a third one would make a nice even number to have done away with. Hang on till I get the crossbow out.
I don't think that's a glimpse, Sheriff. They always go clack, 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 and I just heard a clump.
Good for you, Chuz, good for you. But I'm fairly sure that cantabular glimpses are the only predators on Jupiter.
But you're Martian, you can't know that.
That is very true, Chuz, very true.
The forest went silent again.
We should warn them, whispered Nancy.
Do not! I've been waiting for years for Chuz Rondelbeck to get his comeuppance, interrupted Bip. And him being skinned alive would prove that the universe hates tattletales, just like me. Wait till he's ripped apart by marmsticles, and you'll know that's true.
Now, the problem with Nancy's, and Bart, and Bip, and Martina, if she'd been awake, point of view, was that they couldn't see what was going on 50 metres upstream of where they were. They were close enough to hear what was going on, and if it was daytime, and there were no trees in their way, what they would have seen would have been a large group of marmsticles, probably numbering more than 24, silently splitting into 3 groups. One group had slunk into the stream, leaving only their nostrils and heat detectors above the water. A second group crossed to the left bank of the stream and hid at regular intervals in the undergrowth that bordered the shingle at the bank of the stream. A third group did the same as the second group, but on the right-hand side. A nervous Jupiterian immigration official known as Chuz Rondelbeck tiptoeing next to a large fat Martian sheriff fumbling with a crossbow.
And if, just like Bip, ESA mission specialist Nancy McGinley and Bart McMorrow and Martian astronaut Martina Ruddlespitch had been Jupiterian, then they would have recognised the head marmsticle, known as the Prime Onfonger, and seen that it was splaying its hedgular plumage and, being Jupiterian of course, they would have known that this was a signal to its buddies to follow it in eviscerating and consuming a victim. Unfortunately for Chuz Rondelbeck, the victim was the former Jupiterian immigration official known as Chuz Rondelbeck. Of course, neither Nancy, nor Bip, nor Bart, nor Martina, who was asleep, could see any of this. The first they knew of what was happening was when Chuz screamed in pain, and the sheriff yelled, "Don't panic, I have a plan!" which woke Martina up. Now, marmsicles, for all their deadly hunting skill and bloodthirsty nature, are notoriously slow eaters. They're also surprisingly pernickety, and a bad smell can put them off a meal. Unluckily for those who found themselves in close contact with the sheriff, his feet always smelled rotten, and the marmsicle, known as the Prime Onfonger, had been revolted by a stench of toe juice coming from the fat humanoid. Truth be told, the Prime Onfonger was dreading having to tackle the stink, so much so that the Prime Onfonger chose Chuz as the first victim of the marmsicle pack, and secretly hoped the stout noisy creature would escape. But instead of escaping, the humanoid shouted loudly enough to wake a Martian waitress slash astronaut who'd been snoring high above the stream. "Did I fall asleep?"
asked the freshly woken Martina.
"What's happening?"
"Yarrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr
Isn't it great? Just listen to the double-crossing fool scream. Then roared at the top of his voice. Where's your gut now, Rondleplex? That's what you get for betraying the Hobble of Granagher Defence League.
Quiet,
snapped Nancy. Quiet yourself, replied Bip. And don't worry, those things can't climb.
I'm trying to hear what's going on, said Nancy. Bart, can you make out what's happening?
Hello, yelled the sheriff. Is there someone up there?
Now, it is the prime on Fongler's job to make the first incision in the prey. And in the case of Chuz Rondleplex, that meant slicing the outer layer and preparing the victim for washing and removing the hair. The prime on Fongler stole a sideways look at the other victim and silently urged the smelly thing to make a run for it. This did not happen. The sheriff fumbled with his crossbow and fired wildly in the rough direction of the nearest marmstickle. In his defence, it was dark and the marmstickles moved quickly, but it was still a rubbish shot by any measure. The former immigration official, Chuz Rondleplex, roared a blood-curdling scream that echoed through the forest. It was, at best estimation, a death roar. He continued screaming for several tens of seconds and stopped.
Are you okay, Chuz?
Came the sheriff's voice. Nancy stood up on the branch.
We need to save the sheriff, announced Nancy. Bip, can you get one of those vines to swing me down there?
Why would you be bothered saving him? Asked Bart. He's a dope,
he explained. Just, replied Nancy. She knew it was something she had to do.
She could feel it through every fibre in her body. She knew it was something she could do.
What do you mean just? Asked Bart.
Just something the water in the stream told me. All right, the water spoke to you.
Yes. When was this?
Chapter 11.
You never said anything.
There wasn't time, Bart, but it spoke to me. It knew about the deputy, and it told me to make things right, and I'd need to rescue Budadaw and Fernt.
Fair enough. And you believed it?
Yes, said Nancy. Bip handed a vine to Nancy. This one will bring you down there. Bart stood up next to Nancy.
You're not seriously going to swing down to the middle of whatever is going on down there. Your friend Bip here is just after saying creatures have skinned Chuz alive.
Nancy didn't respond to Bart's question. Instead, she took the vine from Bip, wrapped it around her waist, and checked that her crossbow was cocked.
Cut it loose, Bip, she said.
Nancy found herself rapidly placed in a dark and confusing environment. There was movement all around her and a smell of blood. Nancy may have been late to the scene of the Marmstickle / Martian / Jupiterian attack, but she made up for that fact with the flight of five swift and accurate blows from her crossbow. Each shot found a Marmstickle-shaped target. It was instinctive. Something she was only aware of doing after the shots were released. Thunk! Nancy had heard the whistle of the bolt as it shot by her head.
Stop firing, Sheriff! She cried.
Is that you, Good Aim? He called back. There are some sort of creatures in... I think they just killed Chuz, and I just killed one.
You just shot a tree, Sheriff, and you nearly killed me. Put the crossbow away.
The Sheriff was not one to be told what to do, but the sudden appearance of vicious foes and the death of Chuz and the return of ESA Mission Specialist Nancy McGinley had frozen him in his tracks and given the Marmstickles time to reckon with the changed dynamics of their hunt. Prime on Fongler used this time to knock Nancy to the ground and maul her. Nancy instinctively grasped and twisted a soft flesh appendage. It was too dark to tell where it was on the Marmstickle's body, but wherever it was, the twisting of the appendage caused the Prime on Fongler to attempt a retreat, stumble. Nancy reached out and around a thin bony joint between two sections of the Marmstickle. She locked her shoulder onto one of the sections so the thin and bony joint contracted, and in seconds, the Prime on Fongler was dead. This rarely happens, because in the normal course of things, the death of a Prime on Fongler would have preceded the inauguration of a new Prime on Fongler, and the new Prime on Fongler would have been responsible for the death of the old Prime on Fongler. And this was not the case. This meant that the other Marmstickles were thoroughly confused. They were still hungry though, so silently and in unison, the remaining Marmstickles carted off the remains of Chuz Rondeplek to wherever it is that Marmstickles spend most of their time, to enjoy a primitive but dainty meal. This allowed the Sheriff time to reassess the situation.
That shot that hit the tree was a practice shot, Nancy, and it seems to have scared those things off, so you should thank me.
The Sheriff then took some more time to think. Nancy took her crossbow bolts from the oscogular folds of five dead Marmstickles. It was dark, but she instinctively and rapidly found the bolts and returned them to their quiver.
I think Chuz is dead, added the Sheriff.
Wrap this around you, said Bip. He handed a large vine to the Sheriff. All the Sheriff could make out in the darkness was a hand and a vine. He jumped backwards and yelled,
Stand back, enemy!
And then added,
Wherever you are.
That's a bit rude, replied Bip.
Nancy grabbed the vine from Bip and handed it to the Sheriff. It's okay, Sheriff. He's a friend. Wrap it around your waist. It'll get you up out of here. This playoff at night. The Sheriff decided that this rare occasion was going to be one of the rare moments he took advice. It was dark enough for nobody to have noticed. So technically, at least technically by his reckoning, it didn't happen. This place will be fine for a while. Those Marmstickles take forever with their meals, Bip noted, and handed a vine to Nancy.
Thanks for coming down to get us, Bip, she replied.
Oh, I just came down to see if I could get a look at the spot where Chuz died, and maybe piss on it. Isn't it great what happened to him?
Nancy wrapped the vine around her.
No,
she said.
It is great, replied Bip. In fact, it's fantastic. Screaming and dying in terror and pain. Good enough for anyone betraying the Hobble of Granicker Defence League.
Bip then swung his axe in the dark, and both Nancy and the Sheriff were delivered to a wide mossy branch above the forest, which was holding up ESA Mission Specialist Bart McMorrow and Waitress/Astronaut Martina Ruddlespitch, who seemed happy to see the Sheriff and Nancy upraised and alive. All four were less than a second later joined by Bip, who then said,
That's too dark to see anything down there. Pity. I bet most of the blood will have washed downstream by morning.
Such a shame.
Such a shame poor Chuz is dead, said Nancy.
You might be good with a weapon and Marmstickle wrestling,
But you'll never become a member of the Hobble Granagher Defence League with an attitude like that, Nancy, said Bip. Now, he added, let's all get a bit of kip. Daybreak is a long time away. And that was chapter 14. Truth be told, it was a bit of a rush job, but hopefully more time to sort out 15 next week. So chat to you then.